It's funny. I want to start this way this time because we're so trained as TV, radio talent, or at least we think we are, to introduce ourselves right out of the gates. You pushed play on it. And right away when you pushed play, right below was the description, and you see, look, the host name's in the title. So I don't know why I need to introduce that she's Danny and I'm Darren and this is Amateur Hour, because the more I think of it, you know all that. You even know who the guests are because you read about it. That's the way you selected it. I find it counterproductive, Danny, that we do all this grand introductions when everybody knows everything. That's why I selected it. Am I wrong on this, or do I need to be traditional and give a full introduction?
Well, I would never say you're wrong, but I do think that
I'm wrong a lot.
Yeah. As we hit episode 50, which is crazy, episode 50. Yeah, I think that, you know, Darren and Danny, I think most people know us, which is kind of fun. And also the guys that we have on the show, people are pretty familiar with as well, but they probably deserve your listen. No one does a better intro than you.
I have no other marketable skills. Speaking publicly and talking about things I'm passionate about, I'm jealous of myself that I still am able to do this for a job. So fair enough. You did the Peyton Tolle interview. Based on my schedule, I was thrilled that you were able to do it, connect with him. I'm envious that I didn't jump in. But look, he's a two-way player, was ranked top 1,000 in perfect game rankings coming out of Oklahoma, and doing big damage. Like, you look at his career with a bat in his hands at Wichita State and now TCU. That's important to mention. This is a 301, 356, 500 hitter, you know, with a nearly, you know, 900 OPS. But this is 192 collegiate innings pitched with 212 strikeouts. And with an outing that he had earlier this year against Oklahoma State, CG, 15 Ks, was just incredible. He seems to be running that race a little bit further ahead as a pitcher now. Who is this dude? Because he's a massive, huge man. I'm surprised you fit him on the camera at all. Who is this dude? I'm incredible. He's an incredible dude. I'm curious what you learned about him.
Yeah, we had to do a little working with the camera and setting the shot for him. He is humongous. And actually, I talked to him, I think, a day or two after his outing against Oklahoma State. And it just happened to coincide with that outing. I wish I could say that I picked that on purpose, but I didn't. And it worked out really well, right? Because when you're coming off an outing like that, I think that the confidence is at an all-time high. And if you look at his score lines from game one to that game in particular, you can literally see the progression, right? The number of innings, the strikes, the number of pitches, the walks, all of those things progressively get better. And I think that's kind of a bit of a microcosm for his baseball career, too. And you mentioned at Wichita State, I mean, he was outstanding two-way guy, but he wanted to come to TCU. He wanted to have this experience and grow. And he definitely has shot up more so on the pitching side. And I think more than anything, I learned about his family and his mom in particular and how close that those two are. And I'm going to let you listen to his words because mine would never do it justice. But she has been the backbone to him and his mental game and how he takes on every single day and every outing. And I had never had a conversation with him, D, and I left there feeling much more enlightened about who he is as a person and why he is so dang special. And it has absolutely nothing to do with him as a baseball player.
Yeah, it's I'm excited, you know, to share it with everybody else. I enjoyed listening to it. When he was a high schooler, he was 6'6", 225. He's now looking more like 250. And Bethany High School, UConn, Oklahoma, again, ranked 19th overall in the state of Oklahoma in the class of 2021. Which means he found other places to play baseball in the summertime and, you know, just saw him at one PG event. But it's interesting, Arizona, the University of Arizona, has another Wichita State kind of a player that wanted to find a better place for him to play, and Clark Candiotti, who did some incredible things. As a matter of fact, had a complete game shutout against a visiting team on a weekend day, very similar to what Tolle did. So Wichita State, wow. Losing some talent. Candiotti older than Peyton. I mean, Peyton, as we have this conversation, is 21 and a half years old. Candiotti's older, but both of them are heading to professional baseball. Tom Candiotti, the knuckleballer, is his dad, if that name sounds familiar for our one or two older listeners out there. Tom Allison, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Now,
yeah,
Derek Bender, I was able to join in that conversation, and he falls into where a lot of players fall into our podcast. Good player coming out of high school. Good. I mean, very good, certainly. Ranked 500, though, and the 54th ranked catcher in the country. He's way above that now. As you take a look at a mock draft, second round is where PG has him going to the Angels, which means if that pick actually comes true, he'll be catching in September in Anaheim. I mean, that's how quickly they move everybody to the big leagues. My takeaway from Derek to me, and I'd be curious what your thoughts are on this. We don't rehearse this stuff, folks. Is he's kind of a more, I don't know, country version, even though he's New York via South Carolina. There's definitely a little bit of country to him, and I mean that in all the compliment of the world to who he is, of Matt Shaw. I really feel like his maturity, the way he talks about his self-awareness and his maturity reminds me of Shaw's, who was a first-round pick out of Maryland last year, Cubs, knocking at the big league door already. A year later, was all over big league camp and spring training this year. There's a maturity and a self-awareness there that's kind of crazy and hard to match by anybody else in college baseball.
I like that a lot. I'd add to that, he probably has like a 70, 80 grade personality. Like,
yes, he's huge.
He's so mature, but the personality that I first noticed and really he caught my eye, like obviously paying attention last year, but I had the Coastal Regional. And so I got to know him and his team and Gary Gilmore a lot better. And I feel like it was an honor to get a chance to call some of those games and watch them go to battle and watch him play this game, man. If you are a fan of kids who put their nose down and work hard and think about this game detail by detail, I mean, the way he spoke about baseball, I think is going to excite everybody who listens. Tom Allison, especially appreciate you. But I think what stands out is that he's had a lot of life experiences that have shaped him, much like you and I, right? And he transparently shared those with us. And I thought that that was really kind of him. You don't have to give us an insight into your life or who you are, what you've been through ever, especially some of the things that he spoke about. But I think he knows that talking about these things, especially when it pertains to mental health, only benefits everybody around you. And so he's been weathered a little bit, but he hasn't been beaten down. And he's just got this kind of vivacious, do you know what that word means? $10 word there, little vivacious.
I do.
Yeah. Just that's the word that comes to mind when I think about Derek Bender. And he's just such a light in the game and for that program. So I loved getting to talk to him.
Yeah, public school, college degree, certainly. But I do know what vivacious means. I'll give you a quick example, then we'll send you off to listen to Peyton.
Yeah.
Back in 2019, he played up a year and went to the Worldwood Bat Association World Championship in Jupiter, Florida. I give the full description of it because a lot of you don't know what that is. It's the best travel ball tournament in the world. It really is. It's 80 teams in the fall, spring training complex of the Cardinals and the Marlins, and it's almost all seniors. It's, let's say, 95% seniors that are going into their senior year in the fall, and it's especially a bat-heavy opportunity for hitters and for pitchers to maybe jump up in the draft rankings. It's incredible, 80 to 100 teams. It's got a rich history, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of MLB alum. He went his junior year. A team invited him, the Northeast Pride. That's when he was still a Northeasterner. And he went, and he had 6 hits and 3 walks. And look, to go your junior year is big enough, but to do what he did in that tournament, he made it clear, all of a sudden, everybody was watching me, and I wasn't ready for it. And I love how transparent he was. It's not that he thought that someday I won't be ready for it. That's my dream. But it ate me up. Ran into somebody in a coffee shop down the road who said, hey, you're that guy. We're here to see you. And he shrunk a little bit. He got inside his own head. And I love that he shared that. For all you players out there, whether you're hoping to get to an NAI or a D2, or you're Derek, that's probably going to be a first or second round pick, it applies to either one of you. There's no doubt. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bore you. Then we got to get to the Peyton interview. A friend of the family, and this will apply to our fringe listeners, certainly, is a freshman on a freshman baseball team at a local school, but, you know, we're the godson to one of his kids, so we care about him. He actually said the other day, while he's getting playing time in about 80% of the games, high school freshman baseball, that I feel like there's a lot of pressure on me because when friends come or relatives come and I don't get put into the lineup or I don't play at all, I feel like I've let them down. I feel bad about myself. That's the same kind of level of transparency you get from Bender. The same as a young freshman who's really being honest to only his dad and telling that story. Sorry, I shared that story. I won't mention a name. But to me, it's that kind of transparency that, like, I can work with as an organization. I can work with that dude. And Shaw and he are very different personalities. You're right. Like, this is a guy that, you know, Bender could host content right now and be ready to do it. Shaw could, but it'd be a little bit more focused and driven in a different way. But their self-awareness, their evolution throughout college has been incredible. Let's go. Peyton Tolley is our first guest on Amateur Hour. Danny has the conversation. Listen close. You're going
to
love it.
Big week for you. I know that it's been a pretty good start to the season so far for TCU, but a really big week for you, your game against Oklahoma State. I mean, dude, a complete game shutout, 15 Ks. Like, what an impressive performance. And we're going to talk life and ball, but I have to start there. So take me back and just, like, bring me into the mind of Peyton Tolley and that outing for you.
Well, thank you. It definitely was a fun outing, obviously, but I think just being able to do it in front of so many friends and family that got to be there, like normal people that wouldn't be able to come down to Fort Worth for a game, were able to be there. So doing that in front of them was super special. And I think it was a way to start off the series good. I mean, obviously it didn't pan out the way we wanted it to, but I'd say, yeah, it was just super special being in front of those people that I care for, people that have supported me through a lot. So being able to kind of go over there, hug old coaches, dad, all those different kinds of people is pretty special.
I really love to learn about the army of people who support you guys, because I don't know if people realize, like, how many people it takes, but every walk of life that you've been through, and you've been a bit of a journeyman yourself in college baseball. So tell me some of the people who were there and how they've helped kind of carve out this journey for you and been there for you.
I mean, I think the first person that was there was, I mean, my dad was there, and just the work that he's put in with me is, I mean, countless hours in high school in the indoor facility, everything like that. And then my mom, she wasn't able to be there, but just one of my best friends and a rock for me. So she was in the state, but just couldn't able to make it. And then both two of my high school coaches were there, always been there for me. Lots of family friends, even some that I'm like, I have not seen you in so long, but family friends that just constant send texts of like, hey, praying for you, I love you, keep doing good. So plenty of people, plenty of supporters that just do the little things to kind of push me here today.
Yeah, take me back to UConn, Oklahoma, and paint me a picture. I've been to Oklahoma a couple times. I haven't been to your hometown, but paint me a picture of what baseball is like and what life is like there.
Yeah, I mean, so grew up in UConn and went to school at Bethany High School, smaller school. Everybody knows everybody. There's a lot of kids that play multiple sports. So definitely, like, I think our school is probably a football school. Everybody made sure that, you know, football games were a big deal and everything like that. But then right behind it, I thought, was always baseball. And there was always, you know, support behind the baseball team. And I mean, maybe we weren't the greatest high school baseball team ever, but we cared a lot and we had a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, I mean, Bethany's Bethany, and it's a little small Oklahoma school. So I loved it. Claim it as my hometown.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I love to hear a little bit of the insight. I want to go back to Friday. So, like, if I'm looking at your starts so far this season, it feels like you were building towards something like this. And obviously you got to have a little something go your way to be able to have a moment like that and to be able to accomplish something like that. Do you feel like This was something that had been building in the starts prior to Friday.
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think one thing that we try to talk about is just continually going up and getting better each time. So, I mean, I hope it's not the peak of the season or anything like that, but I definitely do think it that kind of had something to deal with kind of building up. You know, you get your arm into mid-season shape and just continually progress and progress. You start learning what's working, what's not working. So then this is kind of that part of the year where you really start to come into who you are as a player. So I do think that there's kind of that build into it.
If we go back to the off season, like bring me into the off season for a second. When you're a two-way guy, right, you're doing double the work on both sides. But for someone who's doing it at such a high level, like were there any changes mechanically on the mound, any adjustments in the box, like anything that really changed a lot this off season for you?
I wouldn't say there was anything that changed a whole lot. I think we just went into my strengths and kind of dipped into those more, tried to really show what it can look like how we're going to make these strengths even better. Maybe adding a pitch in there to where it'll make other pitches look better. So just kind of refining my details, I guess, and not a better way to say it, but yeah, I mean, there wasn't really anything huge that we did. A lot of mental stuff on like the hitting side of trying to figure out like routines and everything like that is something that I have really started to do, and something that we did here in the off season and talking about the mental game and everything like that. So I wouldn't say there's anything big mechanically. I mean, there's a few tweaks here and there, but everything else is pretty between the ears. So
I've heard the word routine a lot this year, definitely the past couple of years, specifically with two-way guys, but it does feel like the college game is putting a really big emphasis on finding your routine and sticking to it and being able to kind of rely on that, whether it's going good or bad, right? At least you have a consistent, something you can control. What's your routine look like on a game day?
So I guess on a pitching game day,
yeah,
kind of Friday, like try to wake up a little bit earlier, not too early, I still want to get to sleep in, but not sleeping the whole day away, but got to get some breakfast burritos in me.
Where are we going for that?
I've been going to Sonic recently. I mean, if they want to get a deal going or anything like that, I'm open to it, but go to Sonic for the breakfast burritos. And if my mom's out there, my mom makes some incredible breakfast burritos.
Shout out mom.
So, yeah. Love shout that. Out mom. but yeah, then whenever we're at home, get to class, go all three of my classes. And then after that, get back, maybe take a little short nap. And then up to the field, and that's when I do all the treatment and everything. Just kind of getting prepared for the night. And then, once the games, or once we get into BP stretching and then into the game, it's pretty like quick. Everything rolls pretty fast. But I'd say it all starts at those breakfast burritos. So
I need more information on the breakfast burrito. What's inside yours? I feel like I grew up in Missouri. I'm in New York now. So my intelligence level on breakfast burritos is low. I'm an amateur for sure. So I need to know, like, what's the key to a good one?
I mean, the key to a good one, there's a point where you could put too much stuff in it, right? So I keep mine pretty simple. Like, I grew up, I'm not a huge onions guy, maybe a couple jalapenos, but just sausage, egg, and cheese. And I think that that's a breakfast burrito. And everybody's going to be like, oh, that's not a breakfast burrito. You need more stuff in it. But like, that's all you need to be a burrito. So, I mean, I'll add some salsa every now and then just to add a different feel, different
Mm-hmm.
taste. But other than that, like, it doesn't need to be anything special, you know, just a
How
good
about
breakfast.
for the people who want potatoes in their breakfast burrito? Like, I'm a no. That's a no for me.
I respect it. There was a dad at the in my high school that was a big potato and breakfast burrito guy, and I respect it. That's not my choice, but it's okay, you
I love, we're doing the hard-hitting questions here. I really like this.
know.
Along those lines, I'm dying to know some Oklahoma barbecue. Is it homemade? Do you have a spa back home? What's your go-to?
One spot that I really like was Swadley's Barbecue. It's a hometown Bethany favorite. So that's probably my favorite barbecue place. Not a huge barbecue guy.
Oh.
Pulled pork sandwiches are good. My mom makes amazing Mexican food, so that's kind of where I go to. But Swadley's Barbecue, once again, want a deal, I'm here for it. But it's all right if not.
Get this man a deal. Somebody get this man a deal. You've mentioned your mom twice now. So I heard a little bit about dad, but maybe it's time to talk about mom for a second. I know you have a brother, Charlie, too. But I love to hear a little bit more about the role that moms play. I know it's really unique in every family. What was that like growing up, playing travel ball, playing ball in general? What was mom's role?
Yeah, I mean, mom was always there. She, I think 2014 or 16, I forget the date now, but she was diagnosed with stage four colon cancer. So that was something that was a big change for us. And then, but I mean, the way that she's treated it, the positivity that she's shown and continues to show, even though everything is not great with it, has been incredible to watch. And it's been a great example for me and my brother. Through everything, it's just like, at the end of the day, it's a baseball game. You know, there's people going through bigger stuff in life than whether we go 0 for 4 in a game. So I'd say that's something that my mom has always been there for, is like, look, have some perspective about it. But she's always there, play with joy, show them why it's fun playing the game. So I'd say, with dad being, a physical help, mom was always there for the mental side of it.
How's mom doing now?
She's doing good. She's doing good. She's able to come to every, pretty close to every home series. If my brother's not playing, but she's doing really good.
I'm glad to hear that. What do you think you've learned the most from that experience? I had similar when I was in high school, and it's tough being a kid and balancing when a parent is sick. What's a takeaway that you've had?
I think one of her biggest mottos is be a Tigger, not an Eeyore. And she's always positive. Like, there's a lot of things that she could be sad about or negative about, but you wouldn't know anything was wrong with her unless she told you. Sometimes it's incredible to watch. So it's hard sometimes to always be positive about it, but whenever you see someone like that being positive about it, it's hard for you not to smile with her. So
Yeah, perspective is a hell of a drug, my guy. That is, I'm glad to hear she's doing okay, and I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, I can kind of see, how you've been molded a little bit in your life, and even just through like talking about breakfast burritos and this is the good stuff. I appreciate your time so much. I know you got a full day ahead. And I'm really grateful that I got to learn a little bit more about you.
of course. Thank you so much for having me. So this is awesome.
Incredible stuff. And a good reminder, by the way. And he's had more starts since then. But he went Oklahoma 6 innings, 10 Ks. That Oklahoma State start you talked about, 9 shutout, 15 Ks, and 8 2/3 against Houston, 13 Ks. That's 38 strikeouts and 3 consecutive starts. Incredible, incredible conversation. And now let's meet Derek Bender, Coastal Carolina. An athlete who, coming out of high school, certainly knew he was talented enough to play at the next level, but he sprung it upon himself early, ranked 54th amongst catchers in the entire country in his graduating class. Now, first or second round pick, and as Danny said very clearly, a massive personality you're about to find out. So this is cool, Derek, because you're close enough to your high school days. High schoolers have come and gone for generations since I was in my high school days, but it's always fond when I remember it. But they never brought me into my high school's Hall of Fame. And for you, St. James High School, is it Robbie Centracchio? Is that how we say his name?
Centracchio. I know it's Centracchio. A lot of consonants in there.
There is. It's quite a name. What does a day like that look like for you? You're knee deep. You're trying to play at the highest level of college baseball. You're building your pro resume and doing a nice job. You pause for just a second, and you go back from whence you came, and all of a sudden you're lifted up as one of the greatest to ever play in your high school. I wanted to start there because I think it's such a humbling moment. What did that mean to you?
It was one of the best surprises ever. I was in the fall coming into this year. We had another Hall of Fame, like athletics for like the whole school, not just baseball. And Coach C and Coach Jacob Simmons, who's one of the assistants there, pulled me aside. It's like, hey, we're going to be retiring your number in the spring. Like, what's a date that works for you? And like, I almost broke down into tears. It was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had. I mean, those guys are family to me. I would do anything for them and they would do anything for me. And I mean, it just shows with, you know, what they said about me and just the act of putting me in a Hall of Fame. It just doesn't even sound right for me to even say that out loud, but I mean, it's such a surreal moment to see that and just be around there with people like that. Just people have always been there for me and would do anything for me.
And is that cat or a dog, by the way?
That would be my cat. That would be Luna.
Okay. Continue. Yeah.
But yeah, that's really it. It's just so surreal, and I wouldn't want it to be with anybody else. They come to so many games. It's 20 minutes down the street. My parents live 5 minutes from the high school, so I mean, it was a pretty pretty big family affair anyway. But just to be able to do it with those people around me made it just the more better.
It's interesting because if I'm going to ask you to look back on the final year, part of that was COVID, right? I mean. Part of that, you know, your picture of your commitment, your signing day in the gym, your mom and dad had masks standing right behind you celebrating you. And that summer was interesting. Yeah, you took on the summer, though, for the dirt bags. You're a dirt bag for life, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And you took on that summer. What do you recall about, you know, playing in Jupe when COVID was still a thing? They moved it to Fort Myers, you know, the 17U WWBA, kind of that final unique summer. We know it's important, right? But it was challenging for you. What was that last summer heading into your senior year like?
It was a weird road, to say the least. Having had moved from New York to South Carolina, having COVID hit, and playing in Jupiter my junior year, not my senior year, was another thing that, like, you know, made that summer all the more important. And I had no idea. Like, I was just playing to have fun, like, it was one of those things, like, I wouldn't have never thought, like, oh, yeah, you playing in Jupiter your junior year and succeeding is going to, like, put you in a good spot to get drafted to high school. Like, me getting drafted to high school, like, was never supposed to be a thing. Like, it never crossed my mind until I'm sitting in the hotel I'm in Hoover, Alabama. I'm in a Marriott. It's, like, one of the big hotels in Hoover. We're playing in the Ultimate Baseball Championship. And I've had a pretty good tournament. I didn't really care. We were playing Team Elite coming up. And, like, that was the biggest game of the, like, summer. It was like, we need to win this game. We're facing Christian Little, who's on the mound for Team Elite. He's going to start the game. We're going to be in the stadium, right? And it's the morning. I'm in line to get my Starbucks coffee. And this gentleman in front of me turns around. He's like, Derek Bender, right? I said, yeah. How are you? He's like, yeah, hi. I'm the cross-checker for the Boston Red Sox. I've had a real pleasure watching you play. And I was like, huh? It's like, what? So as story goes, we put like 3 or 4 on Christian Little that night. We end up getting rained out. End up having to start the game somewhere else, like on one of the backfields at Hoover, face Carter Holton, and he shoved it. So he was so good that night. And we ended up losing that game. It was, that was such a travesty, but, yeah. And then the next tournament we're in Atlanta. So like all this big pressure, right? Couldn't handle it. I don't think I got a hit the next tournament.
No, you got two.
I did. Okay. And all the area scouts and I always joke about this because that one Ultimate Baseball Championship, and I didn't know this at the time, but like their job was now to follow me. So every tournament I played, whether it was like a border battle or a Diamond Prospects event, they were there watching me. Like I was a name that was circled and they were like, you wasted my time for 3 months. Because I wasn't that good in high school. Like I wasn't good enough. I probably would have been if I had put my mind to that more. When I moved, there's a lot of different moving pieces and a lot of different things that in hindsight, like I wish I did better, but I mean, hindsight is good for nothing. So it's one of those things that I am appreciative of the experiences that I had and the failures I know, because I never want to get back to that point. You know, like there's a different level of hunger that comes with a person when they have fallen flat on their face, trying to like this close to getting to like the top of the mountain and then falling all the way back down the mountain to where the next time you get up there, you're not going to fall flat on your face and you're going to do it better. And I think that's like where me and some of the other kids in my class might differ a little bit. Not saying that they haven't failed, but like I just said, I had the cross checker for the Red Sox tell me how good of a player I was. And I didn't even understand what that meant. I didn't know what a cross checker was. Like, I was like, how high up on the board is that? And yeah. And it's so funny because that same team had guys like Tommy Hawk, who got drafted last year. James Wood, like, I mean, Grant Hussey's another really good player that plays for West Virginia. Talmadge LaCroix, Tyler Dean, who's at one of the closers at South Carolina. Like, I mean, we had like studs in and out of the lineup. It was pretty fun to like say that we played there and we didn't win a lot of games. For how talented that lineup was, we didn't win a lot of games. Oh my God, I could go on for hours about the Dirtbags. Oh my Lord, I'm sorry.
I think that's a lot for anybody to deal with. I know when I got to college, I'm also an only child, so those were new experiences. I've also lost a friend to suicide, and those are things you're not necessarily supposed to deal with so young and at such a young age. And so you're dealing with a lot. You're a college student. You're trying to figure out baseball and where you're at. But I think that leads us to Coastal, and you've talked about this being a dream school for you. So you get to campus and you're there now and a lot has changed, but how do you feel like you've kind of figured out who you are through Coastal and through baseball?
I mean, there are so many different like experiences and I couldn't name just one. From my like freshman year, like on the field, off the field stuff. I mean, that if people say college is like the best 4 years of your life, I totally disagree. I haven't had nearly as much fun as everybody told me I was. And that might just be because like my first couple months here sucked. Like I stuck in the dorms. Like I'm an only child. Like I've never had to share anything, let alone a bathroom, a bedroom. Like I need my alone time. And then on top of that, you mix that with, you know, I lost a really close friend to suicide going into my freshman year. Like that was really tough to like kind of grasp that. I wasn't able to go home for his services, which like really was hard for me. Cause like I wanted to for the grieving processes, but because of baseball, because of everything, like I just really couldn't afford it. And it just, that really kind of, you know, it kind of choked me up a little bit when I, you know, had him go through that. And then going into the year, like, didn't play a lot, and when I did play, it didn't seem like I wanted to be there, or like at least it didn't seem like I wanted to succeed as much as I was just happy to be there, which to a point I was. Like I was very, you know, how do I say it? It's very like happy go lucky, like green, very like, wow, like I'm starting for my dream school. This is fun. And then I proceed to go like 0-2 and then like, oh, why are they pinch hitting for me in the seventh? It's like Ben, like a .180. Like we got to win a game, right? So I slowly but surely realized that. And I think that was the biggest moment for me was that summer. My manager in the Coastal Plains League, James Beerline, he kind of rewrote the narrative for how I looked at the game, where instead of looking at it as, hey, we got to go out here and win this game, like, you got to do everything in your, like, you need to be yourself and have fun, because you're not going to succeed if you don't do those things. Like, if you're so wrapped up in winning and losing, you're never, and like succeeding and failing, you're never going to survive. And he allowed me to be myself. And I still didn't play great. I had like 265 homers, six homers maybe. We didn't even make the playoffs. But for me, and I know a lot of other guys really appreciated that, but specifically for me, like, that was the biggest lesson I need to learn, was just like, no matter what, like, I have to be myself, because that's all I have. All I have is the person and the person in the mirror. Like, there's nobody else that's going to do it. There's nobody else that's going to go out there and put the work in. It's going to want it more. Like, you can't do this journey in anything, whether it's baseball, whether it's, you know, a job. Like, you have to want it, and you have to do it for yourself. Like, you can't do it for, and because nobody else is going to do it for you. So, like, and that was the biggest thing I learned. And that was the biggest thing going into that fall, is I approached every day like it was not only a job, but it was like the last time that I was ever going to be able to do it. It's like, it's now or never. Like, this is it. This is the only thing that matters. How I hit today at InterSquad. I might get one at bat. I might get four at bats. I might play first base. I might catch. I might play shortstop. Right. But like, all that matters is how I do today in today's InterSquad.
A common theme on this year's podcasts have been guys kind of figuring out who they are. And it's, when you figure that out, it feels like it unlocks something inside of you, not just on the personal side, but on the baseball side. So what would you say, what advice would you give to your younger self now that maybe you've come out on the other side, knowing a lot more about yourself?
The grass is not always greener. I'll say that much. Throughout this process, there's been a lot of pressure to like leave, or like hop in the portal, like go somewhere else. Like, if you don't like it, then just leave. My old strength coach used to say, the grass is not greener on the other side of the grass, is greener where you water it. So like, be where your feet are in the moment. And if you can't get the grass to grow greener, then you leave. Because like, there's a lot of different circumstances, right, that will lead to you transferring, and that might be what you need. But you can't do that without using like the stuff around you to its highest potential, because then you're always going to be thinking, it's like, well, I didn't do this. Oh, I didn't do that. It's like, well, like, no wonder, like, you didn't play at all. Like, you were never in the hitting facility. You never did extra work. Like, you never asked the coaches like for any feedback or anything. Like, you just transferred because you wanted the easy route, right? Like, do the hard stuff first, like, put yourself in a better mindset. See if it is going to fit and work. And if it isn't, then you can find the other route, because then you're going to be stuck with the guys that have transferred 5 times in 3 years. Those are those guys, you know, like, we all know, like, that they're everywhere, that they're like, wow, like, this guy's pretty good. Like, why is he on his fifth school? Right. And then you're like, oh, it makes sense. But yeah, that's the biggest thing I would say, is just like, if stuff's hard, good. Like, you're doing something right. Like, if stuff's hard, like, you're in a really good spot, because especially in practice, I'm a huge UConn basketball fan. So like, Dan Hurley always talks about it. He's always, you know, make practice harder than the game. Like, our practices are 100% harder than the game. And that's a big thing that I like to preach, especially. It's like, how can you make practice harder than the game? And it's like, if your experiences in life or in college are harder now, then when you get to like adult life, or where you're out of college, it becomes a lot easier. You're like, oh wow, like, I don't have to deal with 5 midterms, a coach yelling at me, lift at 6. You tell me I can wake up at 7 o'clock, do what I want, have a full meal. Wow, this is easy. So like, but like that, it's like that same thing though. It's, you can attribute a lot of the stuff that you learn in college and a lot of the hardships that you find in your younger life, and use them as fuel to make your life a lot easier, or at least like look at it a lot better, I think, at least.
It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. You know, it's funny because going back to Jupiter, the 2019 Jupiter, it's funny how you flipped the spotlight on yourself. Like, it, here I am, for our listeners, viewers, I mean, at that event, he played for the Northeast Pride. You had 6 hits, 3 walks. No junior is supposed to do what you did. I guess my question is this. I may go back there because I just love that it just unlocked so many things that you weren't ready for. If I'm to listen, you weren't quite ready for. So how much, let's talk strictly to this old minor leaguer. Talk to me strictly, you know, mechanics and approach, and mainly just mechanics. How different are you now, physically, mechanically, like things that you do, you know, physically and mechanically at the plate than you were then? Have there been dramatic changes in your swing? I don't mean the mind part of it. I mean the mechanics part of it.
It's the same swing. It's the best part. The same things I've been doing since 14 are the same, like, routed, concrete stuff I do now. Might be elevated, but boil it down, it's the same stuff. Yeah. It is the same swing. And I think that's the best part of it, is I've done all this stuff with the same swing. And then you'd be like, well, then how do you fail? And it's like, then we get to the other side that you talked about that you don't want to get into. Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. That's why I wanted to keep it the same. So what are just a couple of, I'll use like a corporate-y word that I've heard used.
Yeah.
The tent poles. What are the tent poles to that swing? What are the most important parts to that swing that's been the same swing since you were 14 to today? What are three or four things, if a young hitter came up to you and said, hey, I'm 15, what are the things that work best for you that you constantly remind yourself in that same swing?
I want to be able to hit the ball back to front, up and down, side to side. Like, I want a swing that captures all of that without having to change my swing. Like, if the ball is fast, it should be the same swing as if it's slow. And having a swing that can, you know, move from back to front, like up to down, side to side, like I was saying, is just, it allows you to think less. Instead of thinking like, oh, I have to pick up, I have to read this spin. If it's slow, I got to do this. If it's fast, I got to do this. And it's like, you can't do that. It's not a real thing. Like, that's my biggest thing, is that's the same core principles that I have now. It's just like, I want swing that it does everything, at least as much as everything as you can do, you know? But the biggest thing I like to preach to, especially younger hitters, is like, when I hit the ball backside, I want it to be like head high or lower, preferably not in the ground, but head high or lower. I don't want to hit the ball in the air to the backside. Cause that means you're doing different stuff. And some guys, it works, but for me, like, that's my biggest thing. That's when I know I'm bad, is when I hit a ball backside and I'm late on it, and it doesn't, and it goes straight up in the air, I know something's wrong with my swing. But that's what I'd probably say to little, like, especially like a 15-year-old, I'm like, try to hit the ball backside, head high, like 10 times in a row in BP. That'll open some eyes. Like, everybody wants to talk about the BP homer. I think the BP homer is one of the worst things ever, personally. I think it's awful. I've seen it work for guys, don't get me wrong, but for me, it's not a thing. I chase hits and BP. Chase homers, because more likely than not, like, the BP swing that I take is going to lead to home runs in the game, not the vice versa of that.
Gary Gilmore in his final season with you guys at Coastal, what an icon and a legend, and someone I loved getting to know during the regionals last year. What kind of impact has he had on you?
He continues to drive me to be a better, just everything. It doesn't matter. Like, if I'm doing good in the classroom, I need to be a better person. If I'm a better person, I need to be a better baseball player. If I'm not a better baseball player, I need to be, like, it's just, he encompasses all of life. And I think that was something when I committed here that he promised my mother sitting in the office. It's like, your son is going to leave here not only a better baseball player in 3 years, but he's going to leave a better person. And I can definitely say that they have pushed me, sometimes not to my liking, but they have pushed me, and they have found different ways to push me. Even if they couldn't find anything baseball-wise to push me, they'll push me with my faith, or they'll push me with my leadership. They'll push me with my eating, with my mobility. Like they've always found a way to continue to motivate and try to get me to be the best. And even when they think I'm doing the best, they still try to find that extra 10% above that. And I think it's a little uncommon. You know, you get a lot of good players now and a lot of really good programs, and they don't get pushed. It's like, oh, that's what you can go do that. That's okay. You're an All-American. You can do that. It's like, I came back for that reason. It's like, I didn't want that treatment. I didn't want to get this red carpet rolled out. Like, I appreciate all the conversations that me and Coach Gilly have with those. Like, it's like, hey, man, like, we need you to lead. We need you to do this. We need you to do that better. It's like, yeah, I might get fired up in the moment, but yeah, like, I appreciate it more and more, and I will appreciate it probably for the rest of my life. It'll be stuff that I'll carry with me.
All right, so what was your favorite back in the day part of who Peyton Tolley is as a young man?
Peyton Tolley talking about his mom is going to tug at your heartstrings. If you haven't, if you fast forwarded, maybe you should go back. Definitely don't fast forward through that. When you hear a child or a kid, because he's still a kid, talking about a parent who's been sick or battling with something and kind of getting a little peek behind the curtain. I didn't realize that his mom was sick. I didn't realize that he was dealing with anything of that nature. He just kept talking about his mom. And so naturally, as an interviewer, you think, well, hold on a second. Wait, tell me more about mom, because you just keep mentioning her and I've just got to know more. And so his mom is doing better. He did share that, which I'm so glad to hear. And she's been a warrior. And I think a huge reason that he has a spine and that, you know, he's shoving and that he goes out there and doesn't take anything too seriously, because he understands that there are much tougher things to deal with in life than taking the mound on a baseball field for a Division I program. So I really appreciated him sharing that and loved hearing a little bit more about his family and what mom and the breakfast burritos have meant to him.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Dee. That's great stuff. For Bender, for me, it's the fact that his swing hasn't changed since he was 14. Mine's not quite as deep, but it blows me away, and it tells you just this. His mind has grown so much. His maturity has come along so much. Now, I'm sure there are little things he has tinkered with, and we didn't dive into that, but he made it clear it's the same swing. So go watch it. Go watch YouTube videos of Bender. You know, he's been called some of the bigger power that's in this year's class by Perfect Game Scouts. That's a high compliment for a man who, again, was the middle of the pack as far as rankings go, catcher coming out of high school, and yet the swing has been the same. And it's been failing and recognizing what you did wrong when you fail. It's been better pitch recognition. It's been understanding who you are as a hitter. So for me, not as deep of a story, but the fact that when he said that, I was blown away. Same swing, same exact swing. And so for me, that's what I love. The takeaway on doing this podcast is you find the mechanical stuff, the mental stuff, and then the stuff that matters really for the long term beyond a baseball career is their families, their loved ones, in some cases, fiancés when we talk with athletes who are old enough to be looking to that part of their lives as well. So both of those things are my favorite part. I think you did an incredible job putting this one together. We want to remind everyone, like, subscribe, make sure you share it with your friends. If you're in the scouting industry, unless it's someone you're competing against, share it with other scouts. We love the fact that we heard from a leader in Major League Baseball, thank you, Tom Allison, that says he looks forward to each time we release an insightful conversation with the best prospects in all of college baseball. She's Danny, I'm Darren, that's Amateur Hour, and you've just learned a little bit more and hopefully loved the sport just a tad more as well.